I'm reading from Ruth 1, 1 to 25. And the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judea. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two Moabites' wives took one of the wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she'd been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you find security, each of you, in the house of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you, your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go on your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept again aloud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the mighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley season.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here today. I'm grateful for the invitation to speak, and I'm quite excited about the series, Women Who Prepared the Way. I understand that this worship series has been focused on exploring and learning about the women who are included in the genealogy of Jesus. Today, we're mostly focusing on Ruth chapter 1, but I invite and encourage you to read the rest of her story as you're able. When Zach invited me to speak, we thought that it would be a meaningful opportunity for me to also share about my recent experiences working with Mennonite Central Committee, or MCC, and MEDA, which stands for Mennonite Economic Development Associates, and what I've learned working with these two Mennonite-affiliated international relief and development organizations. What drew me to opportunities with these organizations is their focus on working with women and their emphasis on creating opportunities within contexts where women often face cultural, social, gendered, and financial barriers to full participation in their community and their society. There are definitely a few connections that can be made between Ruth's story and context, and the context for many women and girls around the world today. To paraphrase from Joanna Herodotus' Expecting Emmanuel, in the opening verses of Ruth, it is basic hunger because of the famine in the land that motivates Elimelech and Naomi to take their family from their home in Bethlehem, which ironically means house of bread, to the foreign territory of Moab. While in Moab, their sons Mahlon and Chilion each marry, Mahlon to a woman named Ruth, and Chilion to a woman named Orpah. This journey to Moab is meant to save the family, but it results in the deaths of all three men. First Elimelech, and then about 10 years later, both sons. Herodotus says, the circumstances of the deaths are irrelevant to the story. The fact of their deaths clears the way for the women to act on their own and make key decisions to ensure their survival and the continuation of the family line. It must have been so difficult for Naomi to be in Moab, a foreign land, grieving the death of her husband and her sons, probably without other family other than her daughters-in-law. So it's not surprising that she decides to return to Bethlehem when she hears that the famine has ended. The United Nations entity, UN Women, explains that in many countries today, widows still do not have equal inheritance rights. They may be stripped of their land, evicted from their home, or in severe contexts, even separated from their children if their husband dies. Sometimes widows are forcibly passed on to or inherited by a new designated partner, such as a brother or another relative of her deceased spouse. Depending on the circumstance, this can deny her of her rights to safety, bodily autonomy, and dignity in life after loss. Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah set out to leave Moab and to go back to Bethlehem. But Naomi tells her daughters-in-law to go back to Moab where they will have support and to leave her to make the journey alone. It's estimated that the journey from Moab to Bethlehem would have been probably 7 to 10 days by foot. So Orpah turns back and she returns to Moab, but Ruth refuses and she goes with Naomi to Bethlehem. Ruth tells Naomi, where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Chapter 1, verse 19 reads, when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? To which Naomi tells them to call her Mara, which means bitter, because the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me, she says. Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem just in time for the beginning of the barley harvest. So while Naomi has returned to her home, Ruth is a widow and a foreigner in Bethlehem. Although we didn't read it during the service, I'm going to dive into chapter 2 a little bit. Chapter 2 opens with Naomi having a kinsman from Elimelech's side, a prominent, wealthy man in the community named Boaz. The root of the word kinsman in Hebrew is goel, which means to redeem. The role of kinsman generally went to the nearest male blood relative alive and had certain obligations tied to it. In this context, the role of the kinsman would have been to purchase Elimelech's land after his death so that it would remain in his name. But there were also implications that the kinsmen would look after Naomi and Ruth. Ruth says to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I might find favor." Naomi says, "Go ahead, my daughter." So Ruth went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field that belonged to Boaz. During my research on gleaning, I learned that in ancient Israel, gleaning was a way to feed the poor. A farmer would leave some crops in the field, and afterward, the poor, to which it specifically refers to as the fatherless, the widows, and the foreigners, would gather the leftover crops for food. Boaz sees Ruth gleaning in his field, and he asks his workers who the young woman belongs to which they say, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." Boaz ensures that Ruth can safely glean enough to provide for herself and her mother-in-law, telling her not to glean in another field and to keep close to his young women working. Chapter 2 depicts Ruth as a determined, hard-working young woman, grateful to have found favor from Boaz. Thinking again about the gendered context of this, we remember that Ruth was a widow with no children, likely still grieving, a poor foreigner working to provide for herself and her mother-in-law. Much of Ruth's story is set within an agrarian context. Women working in agricultural spaces is not a new phenomenon by any means. According to Oxfam America, 80% of the world's food is produced by small-scale farming, with women making up 43% of the agricultural labor force in developing countries. However, women only account for 12.8% of agricultural land holders in the world. The Food and Agriculture Organization estimates that if women had access to the same agricultural productive resources as men, they could increase their yields by 20 to 30%. This could raise the total agricultural output in the Global South by 4%, which in turn could reduce the number of hungry people by up to 17%, which translates to 150 million people. However, because of systemic barriers, women are often expected to not only work on the farm, but to also perform unpaid care work, such as childcare, cleaning, and cooking. It's estimated that in sub-Saharan Africa, women spend 40 billion hours per year collecting water for domestic and agricultural use. In some communities, women are seen as helpers instead of farmers themselves. And small-scale women producers have disproportionately less access to high-quality agricultural inputs, equipment, and technology. Around the world, MEDA works with local partners to improve women entrepreneurs and smallholder farmers' access to farming equipment and small machinery to increase their productivity and their income generation. Just last week, the MEDA team in Nigeria had their closing celebrations for a 7-year project called Nigeria Way. The Way project worked with women and youth entrepreneurs in Bauchi State, Nigeria, to strengthen their resilience within local agri-food systems through business growth and economic performance. Another objective of the project was to increase community and family support to address issues of early child marriage, as it's estimated that 44% of girls in Nigeria are married by the time they're 18 years old. Yeah, I know. Women in Nigeria produce as much as 80% of the staple foods in the country, but due to cultural norms, do not always have access to the markets, financing opportunities, and networks as men do. In this project, the interventions that had the largest impact on women or savings and loans groups or other member alliances, which 90% of women surveyed indicated they had a significant increase in their business opportunities as a result of their participation in these groups. By improving women's access to finance, alliance groups have paved the way for women to start investing in agricultural technologies. MITA also utilized an incentives program to increase the number of women able to financially access agricultural equipment and technologies. This includes implementing direct price discounts and specifically targeting them for women farmers. For example, one of the discounted technologies introduced to local women-led businesses were solar-powered lamps with a radio, and the lamps had the ability to charge your phone. These helped women by providing light to work beyond the regular daylight hours, and they had reliable access to relevant market information through the charging features. Since the Nigeria Way project started in 2017, more than 16,000 decent work opportunities have been created in the region. When you invest in women, everybody wins. I want to share another story in closing about an MCC project. Mary Iero and her husband Julius live in a small village in rural Uganda with their children. In the past, money was really tight. Although Julius worked in construction, there wasn't enough work to go around. They couldn't afford to feed their family and to pay for their children's school fees. The couple became involved in a program with a local MCC partner, and they received a pig, as well as training on how to take care of it. They named the pig Friend. After a while, Friend brought the first blessing to Mary and Julius's family, a litter of 9 piglets. The family sold the piglets, and they chose to buy a cow with that money that they got. The cow provides a steady supply of fresh milk, which Mary uses to make butter, cheese, and yogurt. With her family well fed, Mary used the proceeds from her pig's next 2 litters to purchase a sewing machine and take sewing lessons. Now Mary runs a small tailoring business that increases their income enough to pay for her kids' school fees. They kept one of Friend's piglets, which they named Peace, who then had piglets of her own. When asked how she feels about the piglets, Mary said, "Those are my future. I can sell them. I can even tell my husband, this Christmas, you will not buy anything. I will." In the last chapter of Ruth, as Naomi's kinsman, Boaz purchases Naomi and Elimelech's land so that the land will not disappear from the family line. Boaz also marries Ruth. Ruth and Boaz have a son, and they name him Obed. Chapter 4, verse 14 reads, "The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth.' Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son,' and they named him Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David." This last section of Ruth raises a few questions around why Naomi takes on the perceived mother figure of Ruth and Boaz's son, but perhaps that's for another Sunday. Above all, the book of Ruth is a story about an extraordinary kind of love, care, and loyalty between two women, and how their relationship and their faithfulness in God redeems them both. It gives us a glimpse into the strength, the industriousness, and the power of women. This is the story of many women in our world today, working to make ends meet for their families and their communities, despite the many barriers that they face. May we continue to hold these women up as we work to shape a future that is more just, equitable, and inclusive for all. Amen.